Would you get your Bibles out and make a confession over the Word of God this morning? And praise you, Lord. All right, say, this is my Bible. It's God's Word to me. And I believe all of it. From Genesis to maps. And I'll receive absolutely everything God has for me today. In the name of Jesus. All right, be excited. Praise God. See if you can find Romans chapter 5. Praise you, Lord. I want to talk to you about hope this morning. Confident expectation with joy. Praise you, Lord. One of the hardest people to minister to are people that have lost their hope. And probably most of us would say there has been a time in our life when we lost our hope. And if there's anyone here this morning, I hope that, we can turn things around. Amen. This is particularly the kind of Bible hope. We kind of grew up with a hoping and a praying, which meant we sure wished things would change, but they probably weren't. But the Bible hope is a sure thing, just hasn't manifested itself yet. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. That'd be enough to run around the church if it's a few times by itself, wouldn't it? Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Notice, access by faith into this grace. The grace comes from faith. Amen. You believe God, and the grace is there. In which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You look up the words and you could read it this way. Boast in the expectation of a high opinion with God. Boast in the expectation of a high opinion with God, of God. So you're already, it's something, it hasn't really happened yet, like you know it's going to, but you're already boasting about it's going to. Praise God. Just even sometimes just saying it's going to be all right is hope. Amen. Read on. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Wow. I want somebody else to do that. I don't know about you. Anybody volunteer to do that for me? No. We want to learn to do this too. Glory in tribulations. It's the word glory is the same word as rejoice back in the previous verse. So boasting in God under pressure. Glory in tribulations. Boasting in God under pressure. It's not glorying in the tribulation for the tribulation's sake. It's glorying in God in the midst of pressure situation. Tribulation just means pressure. It means anything in life that's put pressure on us. Remember Dick Mills, he in his Spiritual Life Bible, he put in a definition of coming against tribulation, or when it comes against us, is like spiritual bench pressing. We're pushing back against it. It's pushing us, but we're pushing back against it. We're not going to let it push us to somewhere where, or basically, to get us to stop or to back up. But we keep pushing. Don't we? Y'all are out there. You can go somewhere. Okay. Spiritual bench pressing, glorying in tribulation, boasting in God under pressure, reading on, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, just another word for patience. Patience. So there is an expectation of God's glory, of coming out of this with a high opinion of God. And even when pressure comes, and it will, there's an expectation of glorying in God, boasting about Him ahead of time. And you know, I can vouch for myself. Unfortunately, I wait too long to give glory to God a lot of times, waiting for full manifestation of what the expectation is, when we ought to be glorying in God before there's any manifestation at all. That's when it starts. Glorying in tribulation, knowing tribulation produces perseverance or patience. It produces patience. What did James say? Patience comes from keeping the right attitude in the midst of difficult times. We find ourselves surrounded by difficult situations. In the midst of that, if we don't quit, faith comes. More hope comes. More hope is built upon that. If you've ever, and I'm sure we all have had something that we stayed the course, that we stayed with, and saw all the way through. When you do that, then more patience is built up for the next time. Like it or not, there's some situations that just aren't going to turn around overnight. But they're going to turn around. Just maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon, praise God, it's going to turn around. And so we're bragging in God in the meantime, expecting a high opinion, an even higher opinion of Him as we work our way through it. Praise God. And then, not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces patience, and perseverance or patience produces character. And you look that up in Strong's, character means a tried and proved character. You know, I don't believe that God tries us. Not from the outside. God doesn't put difficult situations in our life to see what we'll do with them. Life is going to do that on its own. God doesn't have to create anything. Life will give us opportunities to be pressed on. If there's any testing from God, I think it's inside, and that really is, He just gives us His word, and then the test is, now what are you going to do with that? And we should do what the word tells us to do. So, this patience produces a proven character, and character, hope. We started with hope. We finish up with even more, praise God. Hope, confident, joyful expectation. The happy anticipation of good. Expecting and always believing that you can. Hope. Amen? And we all have the capacity of that. I probably have all given up somewhere along the way and had to pick ourselves up and get started again, but hopefully you did. One of the Proverbs says, righteous man falls 7 times, but he keeps getting up and moving on. It goes on to say, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This hope does not disappoint. The word disappoint is a said of one to be put to shame. Excuse me. One is said to be put to shame who suffers a repulse or whom some hope is deceived, had deceived them. This hope does not deceive. This hope. We don't come out of this hope and feel shamed or disappointed. This hope doesn't disappoint. Now, I think one of the reasons that it can be difficult to develop this hope and stay in this hope is because we've been disappointed in times past. But this hope doesn't disappoint. We learn how to walk in this hope. It doesn't disappoint. All right, well, it's going to bring us back to Hebrews 11:1. Because hope and faith are tied together. And if they're not, we're not really following this course that God wants us to follow. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hebrews 11:1. Just pray in the spirit a little bit this morning. Salama brandana mabrondo. Dorio drono mabrondo bredemi bine sede. Shere me no salmabrondo bata. Baranda dana masana namando bredo mabrondo. Lotono mo brondo brite bine sete. Mene me vino solo morondo rota morondo
bata.
Hata me baranda baranda tomando
rota rota rota.
Koto no mabolo bende bende sete 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 sete
sete sete sete
sete sete sete sete sete Father, have your way in this place today. Make us sensitive to your spirit to receive from you today, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Who is it? Somebody's feeling very discouraged. I'm picking up in the spirit. Just needs a prayer of agreement. I'm picking anything up. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Let your spirit move in Joanne's life right now, Father. Touch her on the inside, in her heart. Heal that broken heart, Father God. Just as Jesus told us he came to heal broken hearts. Let your healing power come right now and touch her from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, the tip of her toes. Let the joy of the Lord rise up, Father, and be her strength. Your strength, Father God, strong in the Lord and the power of your might. We come right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, we come into agreement for your joy to come up and sprout forth in the midst of difficult times. We press back against tribulation, Father. In your strength, we thank you for a supernatural hope. Against natural hope, believe in hope. The situation will change. We thank you for the strength to walk through it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. Let your strength come right now, your strength on the inside. Not Tom's strength, Father, but your strength. Rise up right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Joy come. Joy comes in the morning. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let joy be your strength. Come into agreement right now. Things will change in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise you, Lord. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith means to be fully convinced, fully persuaded. Dr. Richards liked to talk about faith. The God kind of faith is an immovable faith. You come to the place where I shall not be, I shall not be moved. But you want to come to the place first where you're supposed to be, and then be immovable. Sometimes we're immovable, but we're not where we're supposed to be. You start out getting to that place of faith. And we have the capability in us to trust God in an immovable way. You might say, I don't know if I can do it, but you need to start saying you can, because we've been given, everyone has been given a measure, and that's enough of the God kind of faith. And we, and Peter talks about we have like precious faith. We have the same kind. Think about it. You have the same kind of faith as Oral Roberts. Same kind. You have the same kind of faith as Kenneth Copeland or Joyce Meyer or whoever you want to put out there that you have respect for. You have that same kind. Just got to use it. Praise God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance means foundation. of standing under support, and that which really exists, it's real, even though when we read the whole context here, we find out a lot of times it's something you can't see. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. You just can't see it yet. We're supposed to, according to Scripture, look at those things which you're not seeing over the things which you're seeing, because the things that are not seen are unchangeable, but the things which you're seeing, they can change. The way we're feeling can change. The way the outlook of things right now can change and will, praise God. The only thing that's not going to change is God. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Amen? So we trust him and we build our faith. Our faith is in this substance, this thing that we can't see yet, but we will, praise God, because we're going to come to hope. Amen? Amen? Amen. The word things means things that have already been accomplished. Faith is the substance of things that have been already accomplished. We're not waiting for God to accomplish something. It's been accomplished. It was accomplished in the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Already been done. Amen. So we got to be able to see that. And we see that, we're believing in this immovable way about faith, praise God, about whatever God has promised in his word. Things not seen. Things that are real, but they're invisible to us at this particular time. The Amplified Bible says it this way. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. I love the definition of, or the expression title deed, because we find out in the word, this belongs to me. Not only does this belong to me, I belong to it. I have proof. We have proof in the Word of God. Sometimes that's all the proof you got. But that's all the proof you need. Amen? The Bible says that healing belongs to us. Healing belongs to me. The Bible says prosperity belongs to us. The Bible says that deliverance belongs to us. The Bible says that joy belongs to us. The Bible says that peace belongs to us. So we have a title deed for that. Somebody said, well, you know, it's not going to work out for you. But we can take him to the title deed and say, here's, it says it right here. It says, I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I have the fruit of the Spirit. Not going to have it sometime. It's already mine. I have a deed for that in the Word of God. And when you can get a hold of that, that's an easier way, I think, sometimes to explain to somebody else. Well, what is this about standing in faith in that? I have this deed. This healing belongs to me. Can't show it to you yet, but I can show you the deed. Amen. And I'm going to live there. Amen. I'm going to live in that place. Praise God. Praise God. Now, in one of the things that we see with Hebrews 11:1, and how could you get a better definition than faith than that, is that faith and hope are both required together. We need both. Faith says I've got it now. Hope says it will manifest, basically. And somebody said that a good way to illustrate it is faith without hope would be like a sailboat without wind. Got all the capabilities of something happening, but nothing's happening until the wind blows. So it's required of us that we believe God and that we expect a change. God is spoken of as being a God of hope. Go back to Romans chapter 15. We are, somebody said, I heard years ago, we are a faith creation of a faith God, but we also are walking in hope because we have a God of hope. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. By believing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Even sometimes, you know, we have to sit down with ourselves and have a little conversation. At least I have. Yes. Sometimes me don't want to do that. But instead of you know, your mind is rattling away about what if this happens or what if this doesn't happen and all those kind of things. Got to sit down and say, Wayne, it's going to be okay. And talk to ourselves. Sit at the traffic. I mean, we see people all the time. You sit at the traffic light and they're doing something over there in their car. They play in the bass in their radio so loud that the whole car is bouncing and everything, you know. Yeah. And so you sit there and start talking to yourself. And probably we're going to talk to ourselves one way or the other, but it's what we say. It's what we tell ourselves. Because this is what happens if we do the right thing. We're thinking about the God of hope. Fills you all joy and peace. Joy and peace in believing. It's going to be okay. I'm going to put my trust in God. Sometimes I just say, you know, what we're going to do, Wayne? We're going to trust. We're just going to trust God. That's enough. Praise God. And you know, as we look back, some of those times when we didn't think that we were going to make it, here we are. We did. We survived, praise God. We want to do more than survive. We want to thrive, praise God, because that's what we're created for. Proverbs chapter 13. Verse 12. Probably have this underlined already. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Look at some of these words. The Old Testament word for hope is basically the same as the definition as the New Testament word, a confident expectation with joy, expecting things to turn out the way that they're supposed to. Hope deferred or prolonged or delayed makes the heart sick. We spent a lot of time recently talking about the heart, the link between the spirit and soul, and the heart will get sick or wounded or grieved, or it'll get weak or tired because of the prolonging of the hope. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Scripture, I think it's in the Psalms, said, weeping may endure for a time, but joy comes in the morning. Praise God. Joy comes. And when joy comes, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, but when the desire comes, desire or the object of the desire comes, it's a tree of life. So one of the commentaries I was reading, tree of life, is like going back to the Garden of Eden before sin. Everything that Adam and Eve could need or want was there. And they made the mistake of going after the one thing that didn't belong to them. Knowledge of good and evil. A desire to choose for themselves what's right and what's wrong instead of leaving that to God. Trusting Him. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's the tree of life. So, you know, I read that, looking at the words and so on, and thought, what makes the hope deferred? What makes it linger? What makes it delayed? What keeps it from coming as fast as it should? You know, the scripture in First or Second Peter says, God is not slow concerning His promises, as someone counts slowness, but He's patient with us. So it's not like we're waiting. Well, we shouldn't be waiting on God. It's whatever changes we'll make. Probably more than anything else in our thinking and so on, that'll help the process of faith giving substance to hope along the way. So I wrote some things down. What'll cause hope to be delayed? Obviously doubt and unbelief, choosing not to believe, or entertaining an alternate course. I know I really want it to happen that way. God promised it'll happen that way, but you know, what if it happens this way? And when we start entertaining that, then we're slowing the process down. God's not going to leave us or forsake us, but He's slowing the process. But that slows the process down. Could also be that we were never truly convinced or persuaded in the first place. We really didn't get into faith, so hope has nothing to build itself on. Amen. Could be heart problems. You know, God is a, what's the heart doctor? He's a cardiologist. God's a good cardiologist. He can fix a heart, praise God. You know, Jesus came in Luke chapter 4 and talked about the things that he was anointed to do, and one of those was fix the heart. And why would the heart need to be fixing? Because life has happened, and life has trained us certain ways, to think certain ways, and to expect certain things. And we might try to impress our brothers and sisters in Christ or our family or whatever and say some things, but what are we really convinced about? What's going on from the heart? And if it's not right, instead of just trying to push through that anyway, we come back and we change the heart. We let God change the heart. And that's a lot of things that we've been talking about on Thursday night and different teachings and so on, because when the heart changes, then it's not a struggle to think right. When we're thinking wrong all the time and we try to smack ourselves upside the head and stop doing that, it's a frustrating way to live. But when you change your heart, the right kind of thinking just happens. It comes out right. Works the way we're supposed to. Could be also no real expectation. You know, well, I think a lot of things that we do because we're around other Christians, especially if you're in a Word of Faith church like this and Spirit and Life, Spirit and Word Church, Word and Spirit Church, that you know that the people around you are expecting you to say the right things, and they're expecting you to make a good confession. And so we make good confessions because we don't want to have anybody think that we're not faithful, faith-filled people. And you know, I suppose there's a certain amount of good to that, but really, what does it come down to? What do you really believe? What do you really expect? When the pressure's on, when nobody else is watching but God is, you know, what do you expect then? That's the expectation we need to work on. The 2 o'clock in the morning expectation. Y'all are quiet today. Me too. Could be also just waiting for God to do something. You know, we've overused this terminology of waiting for a move of God. Well, God moved. 2,000 years ago, checkmate, as far as Satan's concerned. Already taken care of, already done. So it's up to us to look at it that way and look at it. I'm not waiting for God. God's waiting for me, in a sense of there are things that God has done or does, but there are also things that we need to do. Not works, not religious works, not, you know, keeping the law or trying to impress God or something. If we're trying to impress God, that implies in itself that we're waiting on him. Doesn't it? I gotta pray more, and then God'll do something. Well, then he's waiting for me to do the right thing in that sense, or I'm waiting, I'm gonna get a move of God when I do the right things, when I impress him. So thankful, if you think about it, that he was impressed enough to send Jesus to die for us. And there wasn't any reason to. You know, we tend to look around and say, well, I can see good in that person. I can see, I like they're doing this and not doing that. I don't think God could see anything good. As far as what was happening at the time. But in spite of all that, he saw something, the capability of good. It says in Hebrews, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised and shame. That's phenomenal. You know, do you ever get thinking about what's been done for you and think about what Jesus went through? And especially, it gets on me when I'm kind of getting whiny about some pain that I'm going through at the time. And then you start to think about being beaten to the place of almost being dead. Crown of thorns, nails through parts of your body, pierced in your side, and being despised for the sacrifice that you're making. You think, yeah, maybe what I'm going through is not all that difficult, especially if I'm going to go through and not camp out here. You know, the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, though I get in the shadow, valley of the shadow of death and camp out there. We go on through. We keep moving on. Praise God. It could come down to thinking we're not qualified for the promises of God. I see that God's promised that, but I'm just not good enough. I'm not whatever. But that's what Jesus did for us. He qualified us. Not qualified because of me. I'm qualified because of him. It's the righteousness of God in Christ that we've been made makes us qualified. Or it could even go all the way back to just not understanding God's will. Some people are thinking, well, God wants me to be going through this difficult time. God wants me to be sick. God wants me to be challenged with poverty. God wants me to whatever. But there's no indication in the Word of God that that's true. God's will is clearly laid out in the Word of God. And he's a good God. He doesn't change. There's no shadow of turning with him. Good and always good comes from God. One more scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3. Praise you, Lord. 13. 1 Peter 3, verse 13. To read this out of the New American Standard. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you suffer for the sake of righteousness, you're blessed. Probably that would be a persecution as much as anything. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Sanctify, set him up to be God in your hearts. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that the thing in which we are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Back in verse 15, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, the confident expectation with joy. Well, there'd have to be some evidence of that hope in there. Why would anybody ask about a hope that's not evident? But there should be an evidence of the hope. Should be an evidence of an expectation of good. Should be an evidence of things are going to change. Amen. Should be an evidence in you of the way that you react to pressure, tribulation in your life. Should be a good, well, there's a reaction, but should be a good reaction of, I'm coming through this. I'm going to get to the other side. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Yes. Amen? Yes. When we do that, then that's evident. And then we have a witnessing opportunity. Why aren't you worried about this? Because it's going to be all right. Changes for me. Comes out right. Praise God. Praise you, Lord.
I just feel led to give just a quick testimony. It's very much in line with the word. And so for a lot of, majority of my life, I struggled with depression. And I would just kind of, you get over it. It was my thing. And the next day would be better. And next time it would come, you just get over it. One day, for lack of a better word, a spirit of depression like came over me, and it was so heavy and so just sucked like the hope right out of me and filled me with fear and anxiety. And I called the doctor the next day, and I'm like, you have got to give me something to fix this, because I wasn't in a position to really stand on my own. It was so debilitating. So I took some medication for a while. It was great for a while. Didn't like the side effects. Went off that, back and forth on some natural stuff, whatever. Was handling it on my own. And I felt convicted. I didn't feel condemnation. I just felt convicted because I knew it wasn't my portion. I knew that God wanted me to have his happiness. So I went to a ladies' conference. I did not want to bring my happy pills with me. Didn't want my friends to see me, you know, medicated. So I'm like, I'll be all right for 3 days. So this woman spoke on depression. And I'm thinking, who told? So I bought the tape, I brought it home, and I just felt the Lord say, you know, don't go back on the medication. So I listened to the tape over and over and over, and I just stood on his word. And I'd like to say it got better. It really didn't. It got worse. I didn't talk about it to many people. I told a couple people to please stand with me and just agree with me that this is not my portion, that the joy of the Lord will be my strength, and this is not going to be a lifestyle. So it got worse, it got worse. I was sitting in bed one night, and I'm like, I can't take it anymore. I got up, I opened my pill bottle, I poured a little something to drink with it, and I got to tell you, I heard the voice of God that said, you can go around this mountain again, or you can go through it with me now. So, I mean, you hear the voice of God. I'm not kidding. It was, I chucked the pills in the garbage. I put the drink down the drain, and I just stood on his word. And it was not immediate, but I stood on his word, and one morning I woke up, and it was gone, and I was free. And I have been free ever since. And just want to encourage anybody who is struggling with anything like that. God is faithful. And the thing that, too, that he showed me is that he gives us the, he tells us to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I was watching a real spiritual show, the Say Yes to the Dress. And, you know, when you put on a garment, sometimes you got to pick up your feet. Sometimes you stand there with your arms up and, you know, the dress roll over your head. And other times, if it's a little tight, you got to give it a little jump. So when you're feeling your worst, just put on the garment of praise and pick up your feet and clap your hands and do a little jump and just let the Holy Spirit just dress you in his praise. And anyway,
praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When studying that scripture out, the putting the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness can also be the spirit of infirmity or sickness. And you put on the garment of praise. Praise God. Let's just meditate on that, on what we talked about just for a moment before Diane's coming up. But And think about where you are. You know, we don't want to just go away once that was a good teaching or whatever. We want to get it into our heart, praise God. So just take a moment, just close your eyes, and think about this hope, this expectation of good in your situation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd etch this understanding into our hearts that can't be changed. To help us from the inside out to be able to think right and think expectation, to think good, to know who you are and what you're doing and what our responsibilities are, and expect it's going to come out right. Let our hope show on the outside to the world around us and our families and everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen.